At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Are we exposed? This is what every security team is wondering. But with vulnerabilities scattered across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos, the truth is out of reach, and attackers know it. There's a better way. Unify to defy risk with Tenable AI-powered exposure management. Tenable brings together all your security data and exposures in one unified view, giving you the attacker's map and revealing the critical paths and weaknesses they can exploit. Now your teams can prioritize intelligently, move decisively, and collaborate without friction. Tenable turns scattered work into a single proactive force. Instead of chasing noise, your team knows where to focus, gaining clarity, control, and speed to reduce cyber risk with confidence. Learn more at tenable.com. Tenable. Your exposure ends here.
Hello and welcome to Brokenomics. Now, in this episode, I wanted to look at political assassinations following the murder of Charlie Kirk and ask the question, did the assassinations of past, did they have any particular impact? And were the assassins' goals met or were they ill, or did it backfire completely? Now, of course, I know a little bit about things that happened, but we have in the studio today with us Beau, who is our chief chap of knowing about things that have happened. So thank you for coming on, Beau.
Yeah, no, thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, good. Thank you very much. Must do your show again quite soon. Yes. I've got a documentary to watch, which I keep remembering every time I think it, and then I'm going to get back to that soon. So we do something together soon. Political assassinations. Mm-hmm. So I looked at some of the numbers, and apparently the US has had something like 3,600 political assassinations since 1975.
Oh, really?
Yes. However, 83% of them occurred on 9/11.
Oh, I was going to say, that's a fantastically high number.
Yes.
But okay, if you count everyone that died in 9/11.
Yes.
Right.
So
that's nearly all of them then, isn't it?
83%.
Okay.
Of that is. So that's most of them. Yeah. And then you get Islamic terrorism is like the next one at like 10% or something. So
they're counting all of those as well.
Yes.
Okay.
If you strip them out, I mean they happen on a regular beat, but they're fairly spaced out. They're not an everyday occurrence yet. Although as we will probably come to, the 60s and 70s were a bit lively, weren't they?
So I was going to say, back in the 60s and 70s, they were more common than they are now.
Yes.
They're a bit more common now than they were in the 90s.
Yes.
But interestingly, in the 19th century, political assassinations were much, much more common.
Right.
Not just in the United States, but across the world or in Europe and things. Much more common.
I had a look at a list of US presidents who have had an assassination attempt. And it is a lot.
Yeah, most of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was one I really liked. Oh, who was it? Who was the Bull Moose guy?
The what, who?
The Bull Moose guy.
T.R.?
T.R., yes.
Yeah.
Not Tommy Robinson.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah.
He, I found this while doing a bit of research. Right, he got struck with a bullet and just before he was about to give a speech. And they're all looking at him saying, oh, dear, that looks a bit nasty. And he's like, yes, but I'm giving my speech first. And he went and gave an hour-long speech. Yeah. And then they rushed him to the hospital.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I haven't known about it. I'm going to do a bit of content, probably with Benjamin Boyce soon, all about TR. So I've been reading about TR for 6 months or more.
Yes.
So I happen to know loads about. It's funny you should mention him. You didn't say before we started you're going to talk about him, but straight off the bat. Something I know a fair bit about. Yeah, actually, he was already giving the speech. The guy shot him pretty much point blank range, right in the middle of the chest, basically in the middle of the chest.
Right.
It must have been a small caliber gun because he had something in his pocket. I think, that was it, the notes to the speech.
Yes.
He had in his pocket and it went through that. It went through that and then into his pec.
Yes.
And then stopped there.
Yeah.
so very, very close to killing him. If it hadn't been for the notes. Yeah. He said, at the time, like as it happened, they obviously apprehended the guy straight away. And he said, it takes more than that to kill a bull moose.
That's the one. Yes.
And then continued his speech and finished his speech.
Yes.
And apparently the bullet was lodged in his pectoral muscle for the rest of his life. It never came out.
Oh, that's
so anyway, a little bit of detail there.
I also looked up the stats on journalists who've been killed. Mm. And it's a bit like this other stat that I've got, in that a bit like 9/11 blows out the numbers for political murders, Israel just completely blows out the numbers for journalists who've been killed.
Oh, right. Well, they kill their own journalists, you mean?
Well, it's
Arabs kill them.
Yeah, it's more that journalists keep going to Gaza or something.
Right,
I see.
Yeah.
So,
I know Russia has got a big body count when it comes to journalists.
Yes.
Not insane.
Hmm.
But big, much, much bigger than other Western countries.
Yes. We just tend to jail them here or harass them.
Let them get away with complete libel and treason.
Depending on which side
they're on. Just
let
them do whatever they want, it seems. Yeah. In Russia, if you cross a certain line with Putin, you disappear.
I kind of like that.
You wind up dead.
As long as the line is nice and clear, you can operate in those terms of service. Yeah. It's not like bloody YouTube where you never know actually where the line is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That is the one thing I say about Putin. Whenever we make content semi-regularly, or I semi-regularly do a segment about the Russian-Ukraine war, people think I'm like a Russian shill because I think Ukraine should give in or have already lost. Okay, I always make the point, I'm not a Putin fan, and I always make the point, he murders loads of journalists.
Yes.
I always make that point because he does.
I wouldn't want to be doing podcast-ski of the Lotus Eater ski in Russia.
No.
That probably wouldn't work out.
No, because I would want to say this guy is a would-be...
Yes.
Tyrant. I wouldn't really call him a tyrant, but an autocrat. Total autocrat.
Yes.
He wouldn't like you saying that in Russia. He wouldn't really stand for that. Anyway.
We've got a list of people that we can talk through. I mean, people who have been politically assassinated in the last, whatever, since recorded history began. So I mainly focus on the slightly more recent stuff. But coming back to our question of, did the assassination have any impact and were the goals achieved? Near the top of my list, I've got Franz Ferdinand.
Right.
Did anything happen as a result of the assassination of Franz Ferdinand?
Something happened.
Right.
Something happened.
Right. What was that?
Yeah. A small
conflict.
Scuffle. World War One.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it tipped off. It tipped off. I mean, it didn't actually, in fact, you've got it there, it was on the 28th of June.
Yes.
And, you know, the war doesn't start until August, famously the guns of August.
Mm.
So it's not like he was murdered and, like, the next day or within a week, World War One starts. But historians look back at it and it absolutely seems to have been the trigger for it. Because he was the heir to the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Yeah, he's got a weird story getting there, isn't he? Because I looked at this and it turns out that Franz Ferdinand is a absolute championship grade A level arsehole. I mean, he's a proper.
Think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently, he managed to alienate everybody he ever met, with the exception of one woman who he married.
Right.
So he was an arsehole. And also, right, apparently he shot something like 250,000 animals. He was a prolific hunter.
Thing. Yeah, yeah. That was big at the time, that sort of thing.
Yeah. If there had been just a few more Franz Ferdinands, you know, the early 20th century would have rivaled the Permian extinction. Right. So he was a massive arsehole, but the emperor, right, he was a dick.
Yeah.
He was a total dick. And my understanding is that the guy who was supposed to be the heir, the emperor's kid, his son, he was a pussy. And basically, the emperor, who was a bit of a dick, looked at this son of his, who was a bit of a pussy, and was like, I'm going to toughen you up, lad. And he got his most ball-breaking, army captain and said, right, throughout his, childhood and teens, I want a cannon going off next to his head every few minutes until we toughen him up. And so this poor kid was basically stuck out in uniform, which was a kind of an Austro-Hungarian thing. You know, shove him in a uniform, get him marching, do some military shit. Mm. But this guy was absolutely beasted by this ball-breaking captain or whatever he was. Right. And then the son, because he's a pussy, he couldn't take this. And he kept on going, Dad, I can't take this. And his dad, the emperor, who was a dick.
Franz Joseph.
Paul Joseph.
Franz Joseph.
Franz Joseph. No, no, not Paul Joseph Watson. No, Franz Joseph. Yeah. Franz Joseph was, no, I'm not having it. We're going to toughen you up, lad. And the boy kept on saying, I can't take it, until he killed himself.
Mm.
Mm. Right. And then my understanding is that the airship then went to some other bloke who, I don't know, maybe he was gay or something. He was immediately like, no, I'm not doing this.
Mm.
And he just abdicated, like, immediately. Right. And then it went to Franz Ferdinand, who nobody liked. But he did have one quality. He was basically the only person in the higher-ups who was dead against war with the Russians.
Right. Yeah. So, okay, there's tons to unpack there. I mean, I thought we'd be talking more about the events of Sarajevo, but I happen to be very, very interested in Franz Joseph.
Right, okay.
Incidentally, Apostolic Majesty's got some great content on Franz
Joseph. Oh, he likes the Austro-Hungarians, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, Franz Joseph was an absolutely pivotal person. He ruled for ages, decades.
Well, didn't he come to the throne like 19 or something silly like that?
Yeah, he came to the throne young. He died old.
Hmm.
And so he ruled, he was emperor of the Austro-Hungarian Empire for like 60 years or...
Was he the last one?
Not the last one.
But effectively, because the other one didn't last long.
Because the next one was, emperor for like 2 years at the end of World War I.
Yeah, that and was, then, yeah, that's like Liz
and
Truss.
And then it all ended. Yeah. So, Franz Joseph, he was a bit of a dick.
Yeah.
He absolutely was a bit of a dick. And, his proper son, there's a massive scandal about it, actually.
Hmm.
His son entered a suicide pact with some girl.
Yes.
Some, like, 17-year-old girl or something. And, and one night, retired to bed early with her, and in the morning they're both found dead. He'd shot her, stayed up all night, like in the evening, stayed up all night drinking, then shot himself. And that was the heir to the Austro-Hungarian Empire. But the thing is, see, even at the end of the 19th century, everyone knew that the Austro-Hungarian Empire sort of wasn't fit for purpose, couldn't really last.
Right, okay.
I mean, it was the Ottoman Empire that was known as the sick man of Europe, but the Austro-Hungarian Empire was very much a sick man of Europe as well.
Yes.
So it was sort of a poison chalice. Everyone sort of knew that when old Franz Joseph goes, it's going to be an end of an era, and, like, the Hungarians will probably rise up, and loads of people in the Balkans will probably rise up, and it's a poison chalice. It's a job you don't really want.
Well, it's kind of a good thing then that his son was a bit of a pussy and took himself out, because he wouldn't have been able to keep that shit together.
Probably not.
And the other guy, I don't know what was going on with him, but he didn't want people looking too closely at him, whatever he was up to.
Yeah.
But Franz Ferdinand was a bit of an arsehole, and he might have been able to do it. And more to the point, because he was so against war with the Serbs. I mean, to be fair, my understanding is he hated the Serbs. Like, he considered them, like, subhuman. But he didn't want to go to war with them.
So, so Austrians consider themselves the senior partner in the entire Austro-Hungarian Empire. Absolutely, And Serbs are, like, Slavic.
Yes.
Yeah, they're not Germanic, and they're troublesome. Mm. So, he absolutely was superior. But the thing is, even though he might have hated them to some extent... As you already mentioned, he was absolutely a reformer and a conciliator. His whole thing, maybe he would have been strong enough to at least hold together a rump of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, because he was quite strong. Like you say, he married his wife, Sophie, against the wishes of Franz Joseph.
Well, she was quite
strong-minded. He actually had his own mind.
Yes, because the son never stood up to his dad ever.
Yeah.
Whereas as Franz Ferdinand, because he was a championship level asshole, like arguing with people was just his thing. He just did it all the time.
Yeah.
And I understand he wanted to marry a mere countess.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't marry, I mean, that's basically like two up from commoner. What are you doing, boy?
Yeah.
But he was like, no.
Yeah, I will never recognise her. Mm. She can't wear a crown. She can't, I won't like have her in my company or anything. Yeah, he completely, he was a total dick about it. Yeah.
Yes.
But when it comes to politics and war, Franz Josef was a reformer. Like,
yes.
And that's often the way, actually. People that get assassinated often are people that try and make peace.
Mm. Yes.
I mean, a couple of ones that spring to mind, JFK, Yitzhak Rabin,
yes.
Anwar Sadat, people that are actually trying to do the right thing.
Yes.
The harder line version of their own side kill them.
Yes.
I mean, that's not exactly what happened to Franz Josef, but still. I think of another example. There was one of the Tsars, the Tsar Nicholas II's grandfather, the one that was blown up by Lenin's brother's faction.
Right.
Anyway, he was a massive reformer.
Mm.
And it was the people that thought he hadn't gone far enough in his reforms that killed him.
Right.
It's sort of often...
It was the old adage, if you give them an inch, they're 1 mile, kind of thing.
Another thing is anarchists.
Yes.
In the 19th century, anarchist killers were a big thing.
So this is like the proto-Michael Malice, is it?
Oh, no, because Michael Malice is an ANCAP, isn't he?
He does describe himself as an anarchist of some sort. Well, I don't know which flavour.
Right. There's two main flavours of anarchism, isn't there? Sort of a right-leaning one.
Oh, the ANCAPs,
Anarcho-capitalist. And then, like a capitalist.
Yes.
Anarcho-capitalist, like a hardline sort of, not libertarian, it's an ANCAP, but... Mm. And then you've got, like, the commie side of anarchism. Like, commie...
Yeah, you don't
get
those
so much. Being
commie
isn't good enough. I'm an anarchist. Those types.
You don't get those much anymore.
Yeah.
If you would like to see the full version of this premium video, please head over to lotuseaters.com and subscribe to gain full access to all of our premium content.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Cobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.